We just thank you, Jesus, for all the great blessings of life. This is your life that you give us. You know, all he had to do is just stop giving us life, because this life belongs to him. Not only that, every breath that you breathe belongs to the Lord. And we want to thank him and praise him for life that he gives us each day and the goodness. And he promised how much he loved us, and he proved it on Calvary's cross that he was willing to die for you and me and for the whole world, that we might have life eternally and also have life abundantly here on this earth. What a great Savior we serve this morning. What an opportunity it is today to worship this Jesus that I'm talking about. He loves us so much and loves us, and all the mercy he pours out upon us each day. What a great person he is. What a great God he is. And he's a living God. He's not still in that old tomb. And we praise you and thank you this morning for making it possible today that we might lift up the name of Jesus this morning in our song service and our prayers and our Sunday school. Thank you for the ones that are here, for all of our visitors. But this morning we're going to be talking about a subject that's very sad in one way of speaking, in John chapter 6, verses 64 through 69. As I dealt with this for many, many hours, thinking about this and meditating upon this, and a few words that really grasped my heart, really. And that is the title that I put on this message: Will You Also Go Away? Will You Also Go Away? We've been studying on Wednesday night. I pray that you come on Wednesday night and invite someone to be with you if you can. There are a lot of people here at this church used to be here on Wednesday night, and you're not coming. I'd like for you to come on Wednesday night. I sure would. Make a little effort to come on Wednesday night if you could, and bring your children on Wednesday night. I mean, that's a great time to serve the Lord, and I appreciate that. But we have studied a little bit the last 2 weeks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Will you be ready? Will you be ready when he comes? Because he's coming again, whether you believe it or not. But here, the subject we're talking about, will you also go away? From 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ walked on this earth, the sinless Son of God. I mean, Jesus Christ came from heaven in the brightness of the morning star. He came down this dark in this old weary world. Jesus Christ came, and he came to do his Father's will, to die on the cross of Calvary, to pay the sin debt that you and I could not pay. But he was willing to do that because he loved us so much. And everything that I am and everything that I ever will be, I owe it to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All the goodness and all the mercy of each day that you owe it to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, many people from 2,000 years ago from Jesus Christ, when he come and walked on this old dusty earth, there have been many a people that's turned away from Jesus Christ from 2,000 years ago, even to this day today. It's a sad thing to think about people turning away from Jesus. But yet people every day that we know that they turn away from Jesus. How sad it was to my heart as I kept thinking about this word, will you also go away? Will you also go away? And I'm speaking here to this church this morning because there's a lot of people have already went away. There's a lot of people used to be teaching Sunday school at this church. They're not teaching no more. There are a lot of people singing in the choir. They're not singing anymore. There's a lot of people I used to come on Wednesday night, and they're not coming anymore. There's a lot of people used to bring their kids, but they're not bringing their kids on Wednesday night or Sunday anymore. There's a lot of people used to always sit in the pews, and you could always tell they was there, but they're not here no longer. There's a lot of people that's turned away from the Lord this day, and it's a sad, sad thing. But I'll ask you this question now, because you see we all have it in the heart that we might turn away. But will you turn away from Jesus Christ? This congregation this morning, will you turn away from Jesus Christ? See, Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God, always went around doing good. One of these days, you know, he was working in his father's carpenter shop, Joseph, his earthly father as we know of it. But one day he took off his carpenter robe, rolled it up probably for the last time, and I visualized that. He maybe took off that old robe, might have been an apron, and he rolled it up for the last time, and he laid it down. And he walked out of his father's carpenter shop. And this Jesus knew that it was time. He walked 60 or 70 miles to Jordan, where he was going to be baptized by John the Baptist. And there, after he was baptized, the heaven opened, and they saw a heavenly dove lighting upon Jesus Christ, and a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. And then Jesus started his earthly ministry here for about 3 or 3.5 years while he walked on this dusty earth, going around doing good. He started off by doing miracles to authenticate that he was the Son of God and there was no other. So we find there's a few miracles he'd done, but he got down to the part whenever he fed the 5,000. We'll read about this in just a moment and explain it. When he fed the 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a few fishes and took up 12 baskets of leftovers. At that time, at the top of his ministry, many multitude people followed him. 5,000 men, not talking about the women and the children, was there. We do not know. But how many people he was going around doing good and healing, and people was following him all over Galilee. A man called Jesus, they was ready to make him king. Because you know that the Jews were in suppression of the Roman Empire at that time. They wanted him to be king. But then Jesus Christ, after doing a few miracles and walking through these dusty roads and healing people, as I get into it in just a moment, then he fed the 5,000. And then we find out that he began to talk about picking up your cross and following me. Then he began to start demanding something for those disciples. Not just the 12, but the many multitude that followed him, his disciples. That you have responsibility. And also, not only that responsibility, but you have a calling. And then with that responsibility, you have a commitment. I'm going to tell you, you need to take of this old body, Jesus Christ said, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and pick up your cross and follow me. And then we find in John chapter 6 and verse 66 and on down, the sadness that we know at that time when Jesus was walking on this earth in a living body, speaking to people and doing good. And here is the answer when he says you need to have a commitment to Jesus. You need to have the obligation and responsibility to be who you called to be. Many of them were sad, and it said there in verse 64 of John chapter 6, but there are some of you believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except you were given unto by my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Simon was a spokesman. He answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that they are that Christ, the Son of the living God. Let us pray. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, of reading your word. Although sometimes we know that there's a sadness that comes upon our life as we look into the mirror of the Word of God and see our lives and see so many around us today, Father, is not following close behind you, but have turned away and turned their back on the living Savior. And Father, we wonder where they turned to and what did they turn to when they turned their back upon Jesus Christ. And my prayer is this morning, Lord, don't let me ever turn away. Father, my prayer is for this congregation here today, not let the first person ever turn. God, if they turn, where will they turn to? Father, we want to thank you now for the privilege of following you. We want to thank you, Lord, for that precious cross that you said for us to pick up. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the promise of your word that you would never leave us, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we pray that we'll never leave you nor forsake you. Father, I hope this message sinks in the heart of every person here this day. If that person here today has never accepted you, they know that they're lost in their sin, then they need to have a Savior today. Jesus Christ, you open up that heart and let that person know that they can be saved today. By simply understanding, all they have to do is acknowledge you as Lord and Savior, that Jesus Christ, you died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And if they would accept that, repent of their sins and turn about face, and ask you, Jesus Christ, forgive them and come to the heart and save them, they will be saved today. How simple it is, oh God, that they might follow you. Father, and I pray that we will not turn back. For those that are saved here this day, Lord, it's a saddened thing to know that many people, even the members of this church, has turned their back on Jesus Christ. And they're here today, and they're walking a long ways from Jesus Christ. Father, how I pray, God, that I'll not be that person. Father, that you not be that person this day. Because we thank you for that great name of Jesus Christ is above every name. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As this great God, Jesus Christ, began to walk on this earth in the first ministry, the first miracle that Jesus Christ was penned in the Word of God was when he turned water into wine. Because that was for people's disappointment. Oh, they did not have any of the joy of that grape juice because it had run out. But you see, that great miracle was for the joy for their disappointments in life. And that's for your joy for your disappointments in life. And then Jesus Christ healed this boy. When he healed someone, that man did not believe that Jesus Christ could heal him. But you see, it's assurance now of your doubt that Jesus Christ can heal you. And he goes about doing good. And that man at the pool of Bethesda, whenever he didn't have the strength to get out of that water, when angels troubled that water, he did not have the strength. But Jesus performed that miracle. He says, pick up your bed and walk. And he performed that miracle, and he gives us strength for our disabilities. Now, we all today know that we have disabilities. But Jesus is a man that gives you strength for your disabilities. He gives you joy for your disappointment. And he gives you assurance for your doubts. But then the feeding of these 5,000. These 5,000 people was following Jesus Christ for the great miracles he was doing. They just couldn't wait for Jesus to do more miracles. But we find out Jesus Christ fed that 5,000. That is a satisfaction for their desire. They was hungry, and they had a desire to eat that day. So Jesus Christ done that great miracle, and he fed the 5,000, not counting the men and women there. That's whenever he took a little bit and made much out of it. I believe each and every one of us here today, if we can look back on the history of our family and the history of our world, the history of our country, that Jesus Christ, he was took our satisfaction and he had all our desires that we had, and he put it together when little was much. When we didn't have everything in this country we have today, but he provided for your forefathers. He provided for you today, and he keep providing for you always the satisfaction for our desire. And then most of us know that we have storms in our life. Every one of us today seem like every day there's a new storm that blows on the horizon of your life. If it's not sickness, if it's not some type of a problem in your marriage, family, or it's on your job, it seems like there's always a problem. But Jesus Christ calmed that storm. Whenever he got in the boat, he calmed that storm. So we know that he calms the storm of life and gives you the peace in your despair and your discomfort. But not only that, we know that he also gives sight to the blind and people who walked around at that time. They did not have light, but he gave them light. You see, that we know that we all was in darkness whenever we was lost in sin. All of us know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But Jesus Christ moved in upon me, and he moved in upon you. And in the darkness of our old soul, he gave us light, because Jesus Christ is light. So he opened up the blinded eyes. He is a light for our darkness in our life today. He done these great miracles. But then he raised Lazarus. Oh, whenever Jesus Christ raised Lazarus, that is a life for our death. Yes, see, we was dead in trespassing and sin, but he gave us a gift, nothing that you work for. Every one of us was dead, but Jesus Christ brought us alive again through the faith in him. He brought life to me, and if you're here today and you're saved, he brought life to you. Jesus Christ brings life to our death today. He gives us eternal life. And then the great question is, I'd like to ask you, knowing what Christ has done for you, knowing that he has done miracles in every one of our lives today, I'd like to ask you the question, as Jesus Christ asked his disciples at that time, the multitude of people, will ye also go away? Will you also go away? Jesus Christ, as I said, is in the peak of his ministry that time, feeding that 5,000, and they followed him. With all these miracles that he was doing, Jesus Christ was talking about taking up the cross now and following me. He started talking about, eating my flesh and drinking of my blood. But that did not like that. They did not like that. They began to turn away when they told him that, you need to have responsibility. You need to turn towards me. So he says, many turned away. You people that they come to see Jesus Christ and these great miracles, and a lot of people comes today. Did you come to church today to get something, or did you come today to give something? I'm going to tell you, you come to the church to give something, to give your worship to Jesus Christ. You'll get something out of it if you come with an attitude of giving. It's the giving that we need today. It's not the taking away. Well, I didn't get nothing out of the service. You didn't come to get anything out of it. You come to give something. And if you'll give something, I guarantee you, you'll get more than what you give. It's the giving that God's talking about here. But they said, oh, Jesus, what can you do for us today? Oh, Jesus, what can you do for me now of these great miracles? You see, people are wanting Jesus Christ to do great things for them. What they can get out of it. What does it do to me to come to church? What do I get out of coming to church and serving God? What did I get out of it? I'm going to tell you what, it's what you give. It's what you get out of it. We come to give. Oh, so many people has turned their way and turned their back, and they turned their back on churches. I'm telling you, across this land that we're living in this day, there's a many people has turned their back on Jesus Christ. When you turn your back on the church of the living God, you have turned your back on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for the church, and he said he loved the church. And anything that Jesus Christ loves, you ought to love also. He loves the church. He died and set up these churches today. We cannot function as a people without a local church. This is a place of support that we need for each and every one of us today. You need to support your local church. You owe it to your local church, and you are to pray for your local church. But many have turned away. Many was active in church, and they're not active anymore. Many couldn't wait to get back on Sunday night to sing in the choir, but they're not here anymore. Many taught Sunday school, but they're not teaching anymore. Many was willing to do anything they wanted them to do, but they're not here anymore today. Where are they at? They have turned their back, and they walked away. Will you also go away today? It's a sad, sad thing in our country. I'm going to tell you, this country that we know of, the United States, it was brought up, this country was thought of in the mind of God. I believe by the word of God, whether you believe it or not, I believe that. I believe this country that we're living in, the United States of America, was founded on the word of God. We have got away from the word of God. We have turned our back on Jesus Christ. We have went away from Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, you can tell it in our churches today. You can also tell it in our families today. You can tell it all over the place today how people have turned away and walked away from Jesus Christ and his church. It says in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas have forsaken me, love this present world. There's too many love for the world today and not lovers of Jesus Christ. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Are we living in that days? Are we living that day? And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. They love their beer better than their bread of life. I'm going to tell you what, they love their praises better than they love the praise of God. They love their sin more than they love the service of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, they love their money more than they love the mercy of Jesus Christ today. And many have turned away. The iniquity have abound. It says the love of many, the thousand multitude of people at that time followed Jesus Christ everywhere he went, want to hear his words. But many turned away and left when he says you need to be responsible. You need to have a commitment. You need to surrender your life. And it says many turned away. What's wrong with us today? 1 John 2:19 said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They proved that they did not want to follow God. They left. Many a person today has named the name of Jesus Christ. Many a person today has put their name on this church roll, another church roll, and been baptized. And I'm going to tell you what, it's manifest that they have not saved. I don't know who they are, but I can tell you one thing. If they don't love the things that Jesus Christ loved, they have not the love of the Father in them. And the Word of God says, if you don't have the love of the Father, you have not life this day. If you don't love the things that Jesus loved, I don't care what people say. I'm going to tell you what God says in his word, they're not none of his. They turned their back and they walked away from Jesus Christ. Peter 2:22 says, but it happening unto them according to the true Proverbs, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and a sow that was washed to her own watering in the mire. The own watering in the mire. Turn back to that old nature. Turn back to that old darkness and turn back to that old nature that they had. That's where they at this day. It's a sad thing to think about our country. As we look about our country, we look about our churches today. How empty some of our churches is today. A lot of our Baptist churches is quitting on Wednesday night. Thank God we got a good number on Wednesday night. But you know, a lot of our Baptist churches also quitting on Sunday night. Thank God that people come back on Sunday night. What a blessing it is to know that we got people that still love Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, it's great to know that I'm a member of this church. And I'm going to tell you what's wrong in our country. You better believe it's going down, and it's going down in a hurry. But I'm going to tell you, it's not the problem that we have with our government. That's not really the problem. Oh, yeah, we look and think it is. It's not even a problem of that man that's squatting upon our throne of our country. That's not even a problem of that. It's really not a problem in Washington. It's a problem with God's people. Many, many, many have turned away and walked with Him no more. That is really the problem here this day. That same verse of Scripture that said there in 66, from that time, there was a time, from that time, it says, many of His disciples went back. How many people is on our church roll? We built this church about 350 sets here. We got over 400. If everybody showed up, we wouldn't even have room for our visitors today. We wouldn't have room for our visitors today if everybody showed up in the service. I'm going to tell you, many has walked away from Jesus Christ. Many have turned their back on Jesus Christ. From that time, there was a time. But from that time, they turned, they walked out that door, and they ain't been back. From that time, His disciples went back and walked no more with Jesus. Then said Jesus unto His 12, He then said about the encircle of the one here today, will you also go away? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom will we go? Thou art the words of life. Where can you go? And we believe and assure that Thou art the Christ, of the Son of the living God. I'm sure He says that Thou art Christ of the living God. That's how He answered that question. Now, most important truth you and I today could ever know is what you believe in and why that you believe what you believe. Oh, Peter says, you know, you ought to be ready always to give an account to every man that has asked you a reasonable of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why that you believe and why that you believe what you believe. Now, where are people going when they walk away? Where are they going when they refuse the service of God? Where are they going when they will not come to church? Well, one thing, they turn away from the truth. And if you turn away from the truth of Jesus Christ, where are you going to find truth? Whenever people turns and walks away, where are they walking to? Well, some of them walks into atheist. Atheism is where they go to. But now you say, we don't have many atheists in this country. We have a bunch of atheists in the country. They might not confess that they are a God, but they live their life as they are no God. That's called practice atheism. Because they live their life, and we have many today is on church roll that's atheist. Because they live their life as they don't need God whatsoever. We don't need the church. We don't need God's people. We don't need the Word of God. And I'll tell you, young and old, they are atheists and they're living. They're atheists. They don't need God. They go back to God. They've turned away from Jesus Christ. And when they turn away from Jesus Christ, they turn into atheists. Or either they turn into the intellectualism that they don't need God. This old book here is old. It don't mean much today. But we'll go what the world says. We'll go into education, intellectual people today. But I'm going to tell you, without Jesus Christ, with all the intellectualism they are, it's nothing but just empty wind, as you see on television. Nothing but just empty wind. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people turn their back and they walk away from Jesus Christ, and they walk away from His church, and they go into materialism. God starts blessing someone, and before long, you know what? They got some money, get some more money, and a job, they get a bigger job. And before long, did you know what? They don't have time. They don't have time to come to the house of God because they got so many materialisms in their life to go to. Materialism. Now, we have this day now in our country called capitalism. And I'm going to tell you who's sitting on the throne of our country and those liberal Democrats. I'm going to tell you what, before long, we will not have a capitalist government in our country. We'll have a socialist and a communist government. You keep voting for them, you keep supporting these type of people, and I'm telling you what's going to happen. It's going to happen fast. But now I want to tell you the difference in capitalism and also communism. Communism is everybody works for the government. You are working for the government, but the difference between capitalism and communism is both of them is a form of materialism, both of them. And neither one of them will satisfy your deepest needs without Jesus Christ. We might be the greatest capitalist country in the world, and we always have been, but I'm going to tell you, with capitalism, without Jesus Christ, is emptiness and will not solve and comfort that heart that God has given you to know Him. That's where we're living at today.
That's where we're living at today. If they don't turn there, they'll turn back into false religion. You know, people's going away into false religion now. The Islamic religion is the growing religion in our country now. It should be Christianity, but no, we've turned our back on, but Islamic is growing. In the prison now, they tell me that's one of the growingest religion in prisons today is the Islamic religion. Buddhism, Hinduism. People believe these things. When they turn away from a true and living God, when they turn away, what are they turning into? People's going to Mormonism. They believe in Joseph Smith. And they're turning away into false religion today because man is going to believe something. If you don't believe the living and true God, you're going to fall for the false God and Antichrist God that's in this world right now. Well, I want to give you, I'm fixing to preach my sermon, that's just an introduction. I want to give you four reasons I got to think about why I don't want to go back and why I don't want to turn away from Jesus. Because historical reasons. Lost or saved, you got to admit that just a man named Jesus once walked upon the face of this earth. There are more evidence that Jesus walked upon the face of this earth than there are that George Washington never lived and walked on this earth. The evidence of history. Every time that you write a check, did you know what that is? Evidence that Jesus Christ was born. Because you write a date down, do you not, on your check? Every time that you write a date down on that check, that tells me, you know, that date check, it gives you the testimony that Jesus Christ once walked on this earth. Every time that you give a testimony, every time that you write a date down, that tells me that, you know what, Jesus Christ was here on this earth. The evidence of the church is another reason. I know that Jesus Christ, he come and he split history when his birth was. But evidence of the church, the eyewitness of the resurrection, that he was alive. 1 Corinthians 5 and 15 says, after that he was seen of above 400 brothers at once, of whom the great part remain unto the present, but some are falling asleep. It says in Luke and John, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. Then said to Thomas one time in John chapter 20 and 27, reach thy fingers and behold my hand, and reach thy hand and thrust into my side, that you may be faithful and not believe. Be faithful and believe not. I know that Jesus Christ because of the evidence of the church. People live their life for a lie, but they will not die for a lie. They said they stole the bodies of Jesus Christ. I'll ask you, will you go away also? Peter said, Lord, where will we go? Go back in that old back life, Pleasant Hill? Jesus Christ said that I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. But many are going to turn away and leave. I'll never leave you. I'd like for you to think back. Sitting here is a great testimony of the evidence that Jesus Christ will never leave you. There's some probably sitting here this hour had a wayward child. Maybe it's a teenager. And you know how wayward children get sometimes. And you don't know what in the world you're going to do. Maybe it's over drugs or alcohol, or you raised them in church and yet you can't get them to come to church. And you know what your life is going to be. Every day was just a mess. You don't know if he's ever going to straighten out or not. You don't know if the Lord was going to take his life or not. And yeah, that was a struggle every day of that teenager boy or girl. Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus reached down in that situation, and there maybe as you look back now, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever years it might be, maybe that man now is preaching. Maybe that man is teaching Sunday school at a church somewhere. Maybe that girl now is teaching young kids and teenagers. Maybe she's teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe now some of us sitting here and your wife been sick. Maybe it's that dreaded disease of cancer, your wife or your husband. Maybe as you watched them as they just wasted away. And there was no hope. You don't know how you're going to take the next breath. But yet Jesus Christ says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
there as you look back now, he's given you a life. And all you have now is just the sweet memories. And the pain is turned to love. He says, I'll never leave you. And then some of you have buried your loved ones. Maybe it's that child. Maybe it's that husband. Maybe it's that wife. You'd walked out to those cemetery, that last place you can go. And you saw them as they placed that little one in that grave. And Jesus Christ says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now Jesus Christ has turned those pains into joy, into victory. Because you believe in a promise. As old David said, I can't bring that child back. But I can go where that child is. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. A lot of people here, their wives and their husband has gone on and left them. The breadwinner don't have them to make it. Never worked. But my husband is dead. Don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus Christ says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There you find one day they walked away. That Jesus made a way. Now you're doing better than you ever done before. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe it's on that job that some of you are having a problem with right now. Maybe you don't have a job. And you don't know how in the world that you're going to make it tomorrow. Finances closing in. Looks gloom on America today. Don't know how I'm going to make it. But Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you and I will not forsake you. I will make a way for you. And some of you can look back whenever you worried about your job. Now you got a better job than you ever had before. Then some of you about the point that you was going to lose everything you had. It looked like you was going to lose your house and your home and everything you had. Sometimes God blesses us and lets us lose that way to give us more in return. But see, now that you can look back and God has blessed you and you got more now than you ever had before. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's a problem there with money. Didn't know how you're going to make ends meet. And then you know what you started doing? You started tithing. You don't know how in the world you're going to pay your bills. But Jesus Christ is what you got in your hand. And you open your hand, you showed him your paycheck. He says, bring it to me. Because again, a little is much. And he took that 90% after you give your 10% to the Lord. He took that 90% and he stretched it out farther than what you could took that 100% and stretched it out far. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Some of them, you know, have drinking problems. Oh, how they destroyed their family and their life and they had these drinking problems. Didn't know how in the world didn't want to do this, but there's a part of them with that old desire of that old alcohol and every day, that beer they had to have, that alcohol every day. But you see, there may be some of you sitting here now, you don't have to worry about that no more. Because Jesus Christ has misplaced that with the sweetness and the joy of salvation. Today, as you think about drugs, and we think about this terrible, terrible thing it's called divorce, and how in the world are you going to make it? God don't like divorce, but he loves us. And though we have sin, sometimes comes in our life. You don't know how in the world you're going to make it through this divorce. How in the world are you going to make it? Now you can look back. And Jesus Christ has brought your life back together again. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, we saved today. You and your family, as we look back upon the history of it. The problem that you've had. The problem we had. Then maybe you know what? You might have had that old heart problem. A lot of people have that old heart problem. They rush you down to St. Vincent, Florida. And you know what? You have to lay a pat on your back. And you just depend on that doctor might know what he does. And he might be able to help you, but you see, that's not really the doctor that helped you. You was down there at St. Vincent. I'm going to tell you what, those doctors might have done something to your heart, but Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you got another heart transplant while you was there. You know, he might have took out that old stony heart and put you in a fleshy heart. He might have took out that old critical heart that you have and put you in a heart that praised God and thanks God. For what he's given us today. Oh, I say, will you go away also? Jesus Christ says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'd like to ask you the question, will you go away also? Will you run away? Jesus gave these miracles and these everything for our family and everything they give us. And the sadness is today, and a lot of people have saw these miracles that Jesus Christ has done in their life. They've been in hospital many times, and God moved in and touched them. And they walk with God no more. They've turned their back on God. It seemed like I could just hear Jesus' voice this morning of this little congregation. Will you walk away from me also? We also turn away of the great blessing of Jesus Christ. And if you do, where will you go? Back into the darkness. Back into the darkness is where you will go. I have about 2 more hours on this sermon. Jesus Christ was virgin born. He lived a sinless life. He never withdrew any statement that he said. He never asked apologies to anybody. He never asked advice from anybody. And he never asked forgiveness for anyone. Because he'd never done anything wrong. This Jesus died on the cross for me. And I know that I have the old nature still in me. And I know I'm capable of falling away. And you're capable of turning away and walking away from God. As many, many others are that the member of this church. We're all capable of it. And he's asking me and he's asking you, will you also turn away? Brother Vernon, I thank you for your commitment as a pastor. Because I know pastors is not walking with Jesus anymore. I know deacons are not walking with Jesus anymore. I know people used to sing in this choir. They're not even at church anymore. Sunday school teachers, and they're not even at church anymore. I could be one of them. Pray, God, don't let me turn and walk away. You hear this morning, you need to get active in your church. Just coming and sitting on Sunday morning once in a while is not going to get the job done. You need to get active because God's called you to do something if you're saved. You need to get active in your church. There's a Wednesday night program. There's Sunday school. And there's Sunday morning. And then there are a lot of other services that you need to be in. And you need to be active. And if you're here this day and you know this Savior that I'm talking about here today that will save you and you need to be saving, I guarantee you if you come walk down this aisle, I'll tell you how to be saved. And it's so simple. Don't worry about what people think about you. You better know what God knows about you. And God, I want to be close to you, and I want to be here when these doors are open, because I love God's people. You know why I love Wednesday night? Because God's people here on Wednesday night. And if I love Jesus Christ, I want to love the things that Jesus Christ loves. And I love the things that Jesus loves. Lord, he says, will you also go away? As I close with a song of invitation, yes, we all have it in our heart that we might walk away. Might turn away because there's some things this world can get any of us. None of us immune that we cannot turn away, but I just pray I don't. When I get where I can't pastor, I want to be here like Brother Vernon is. He'd do more if he was able. I want to be here. Like some of our older adults here this hour could barely make it in the door. Have a hard time for our senior adults to get here, though, that can come. But you have these young people that have plenty of sprout. Where are they at this morning? I'm going to tell you where they're at. They've turned their back on Jesus and walking with him no more. We need to pray for those folks. And we need to love those folks. We need to love them back in the fold of Jesus Christ as we stand and sing our hymn.